So, Bezus Hashem Yisboach, we now are coming to the next Perek in, slowly but surely, we'll finish Mishlei. We should only have Arichus Yom and Vishonim. But we're coming to Perek Vav. I would like to read the Psukim with you, show you the parallel in a much later Perek, and then postpone the Vilna Goyen's Pirushim for next time. Bezus Hashem bli neder bli shvua. But today to concentrate Bedafka on the Mesilas Yisharim in the section called Zlizus. So if you'll be so kind as to take a look at the first page at the Psukim. So we have in Mishlei Perek Vav an emphasis that starts with more or less the same concepts that we had at the end of Perek A. Bni imaravta l'reyecha takato lazor kapecha noikashta b'imreficha nilkadita b'imreficha asei zoi seifoi bni v'hinot seil ki vosa b'kaf reyecha leich hisrapes urahav reyecha. So the issue here is that somehow you've taken on a responsibility that if the loiva doesn't pay, then you're going to pay, and you are in a matzav because of that. Noikashta b'imreficha, that's from the word moikesh, which means a stumbling block. So nilkadata, also the same idea, you were caught in the trap, because obviously you are committing yourself to something that is of no gain to you, but at the same time, it causes you all kinds of suffering if the loiva does not pay. So what should you do? So take a look at the Bir HaGra for a second on Pasuk Gimel. Asei zois eifai b'ni kloima. Mo es eloch oid, kibun shenichnasta b'tzora hazois. Ein locha rak lasei zois. And that's what the word eifai means. Eifai is mo es b'ni, like you have in Chumash. So the same thing, like, what else can I do for you but? In other words, you're in a matzav, and there's very little that you could accomplish. So what's hisra pace? So Chazal tell us, hater pas yodcha. And in other words, you urahav reyecha. So he says in the Vilna Gaon, a few lines towards the end of this pasuk, so we don't understand what's going on. Are we talking about halvois or are we talking about something else? So Bezus Hashem, we will come back to the Vilna Gaon, and what is the solution of the person that made himself an arev and now is in trouble because the jig is up and he never has to pay. So now, in the same psukim, if we continue with pasuk vav, right? So, pasuk dalet, excuse me. Al titain sheino le'enecha usnu malaf apecha. He notzel kitzvi miyad ukitzipo miyad yokush. Meaning, in other words, that there's still apparently something that you can do, but it requires tremendous zrizus, tremendous assiduousness. You have to pick yourself up and get going, almost as if something is chasing after you, and if you run fast enough, you'll be able to save yourself. And that's the image of Ketzvi Miyad, in Ketzipor Miyad Yokush. By the way, I just wanted to repeat something that I said a number of times already. It says, Yehuda ben Tema Oimer Hevi Az Kanomer Kal Kanesha Rotz Ketzvi Gibor Ka'ari. So Az and Gibor are two different midas, but when you speak about Kal Kanesha, you're speaking about the swiftness of the Nesha. Rotz Katzvi is speaking about the swiftness of the Tzvi. So why the redundancy? So I pointed out something very simple. When does a Tzvi run and when does a Nesher fly with great speed? The Nesher flies when it's chasing after a fish in the water. So the fish is moving and he sees him from a great distance and he suddenly swoops down. And the speed of the Nesher allows him to catch the fish while it's near the surface of the water. Tzvi, when does the Tzvi run? A Tzvi runs only when he's frightened, when he's running away from something. So it's very pashut now. They are both swiftness, but they are images which are very different one from the other. And they refer and relate to the attitude towards mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. In mitzvahs asay, you chase after something. You want to do the mitzvah. You rots to the mitzvah. So you have to be kalkanesha. Mitzvahs lois asay, you run for your life. You run away from the nisayon. You run away from the aveira. When you run away from the aveira, you are in the image of the rots katsi. Here, we're speaking about saving yourself from the disaster of that arvus, which we will discuss in the future. What exactly are we talking about? And what does it have to do with limud HaTorah? According to the Gra, but he not so katzvi miyod, run for your life, save yourself, and you cannot sleep. Al titein sheino le'enecha. Leich el nemola, otzeil re'ei dracheha v'chachon. Go to the Namala, you lazy one. Seek out its paths and become wise. Learn from the Namala. That is L'chayra the Pashup Shat. Asher ein lo kotzin shoiteru moshel. No taskmaster is standing over the Namala. There's no person with a whip by the Namala. There's no chief Namala threatening them. It's all by instinct. It's all by their very nature that they are busy and they create and they do and they build and they keep going. Asher ein lo kotzin shoiter u'mashel. Tochin b'kayitz lachma. It prepares in the summertime. Ogra b'kotzir ma'achola. Oger means to collect. Ma'agar is a collection. Bakotzir, the time when there is plenty of food, it prepares itself for the winter when it will not find anything. So the plan of the Namola is done with great alacrity, with great zeal, with a certain measure of consistency, which we have to learn from and anticipate the issue and protect ourselves in advance. Then the pasuk continues, but what about you? You don't go to the Namoa and you don't learn its lesson. So what are you doing? You're sleeping in bed. Ad Masai Otzel Tishkov. Masai Toko Mishnah Secha. Then you notice the dogish in the shin because it's Shena, not Mishnah. It's not talking about learning. It's from your Shena. Min Shena Secha. Whenever there's a mem that has a nun at the end, and it's really two words, Min Shena Secha, there's a dogesh instead of the nun of the min because it becomes one word. But really it's min shenasecha. Takum min shenasecha. That's why it's mish shenasecha. Wake up from your slumber. Get out of bed, you lazy one. Ma'at sheinois. Ma'at tnumois. Ma'at chibuk yodayim lishkov. Uba kemahalech reishecha. Umachsorcha ki'ish magen. So the Eitzah is don't sleep too much and be like the Namala. The Pshat of this last Pasuk we will learn in a few moments. I just wanted to point out that this last Pasuk, the last two Pasukim, Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph of this segment of Perek Vav is repeated essentially verbatim in another place in Mishlei, as you have in front of you, Mishlei Perek Chav Dalet. Here it says as follows: Al Sdei Ish Otzel Ovarti, Val Kerem Adam Chasalev. I passed by the field of a lazy person. I passed by the vineyard of someone who has no heart, who has no understanding. Vehine Olo Kuloi Kim Shoinim. Kosuponov Charulim, the Geder Avonov Neherosa. The whole thing is full of weeds. The whole thing is in disarray. The fence has been broken. The stones are all over the place. Voecheze onoichi. Oshisli bi. Roisi lokachti musar. You understand very well that if you were the Vilna Gaon, you would already say, look, voecheze onoichi is one point. Oshis Libi is another point. Ra'isi is a third point, Vakachti Musar is a fourth point. But for our purposes at this moment, the essential common denominator of all these points is I pass by and I learn a lesson. What is my lesson? My lesson is, and here Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet and Perek Chav Dalet are the same, kemat verbatim, with a tiny change in the last pasuk. Ma'at sheinois, ma'at pnumois, ma'at chibuk yodayim lishkov. Uva mishalech reishecha umachsorecha ki'ish mogen. So let us take a look at the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is in the, you know, after the Bir Agra in your sheets. The Bir Midas Hazarizus. You know, of course, Torah may be Lidei Zehirus, and Zehirus is maybe Lidei Zerizus. So we are now in the second level, if you will, the second level of the Madregas of the Braisa of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer in Maseches Avodah Zarah, which is the foundation Chazal for the whole Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. Acha hazihirus yovei hazrizus. Ki hazihirus soivev al haloisasei vahazrizus al haasei. Vahainu sur meira vahasei toiv. V'inyonei shal hazrizus mevua shahu hahakdoma lemitzvais ulashloma sinyonam. Ukaloshon hazeh amru chazal. The Gemara in Pesachim, of course, is zrizim makdimim lemitzvais. V'zeh, ki kemoi shetzorich pikchus godol v'hashkofa rabba li notzel mimokshe hayetzer uli molik min hara shol yishlot bonu lihisarev v'maasenu. Just like in Zehirus, meaning the sur meira, you need a tremendous amount of concentration and intelligence to protect yourself. Kein tzorich pikchus godol v'hashkofa lechois b'mitzvais v'liskois b'hem v'loi soivadno mimenu. Ki kemoi shemisavev u'mishtadel hayetzo hara b'tach b'loisov l'hapilis ha'odom b'mechmeres ha'chet. Just like the yetzo hara tries very hard to let the person fall into the trap, into the fishing net, as it were, of sin, kein mishtadel limnoya mimenu asiyas ha'mitzvais ula abdo mimenu. V'im yisrape v'yisatzel v'lo yischazek lirde v'chareyim v'lit mechbom yishoer meor v'reik mehem b'vada. So he says it very clearly and unequivocally. It's not pshat that once you escape the Yetzirah's clutches from doing averas, the mitzvahs come naturally. Because the Yetzirah works on both fronts b'vasachas. He wants to ensnare you in averas. And of course, if a person is doing averas, he's not doing mitzvahs. That's the famous word of the Vilna Gaon, l'fnei miyata asid l'pein din b'cheshbon. Why the redundancy? Because din is the judgment against the person for the avera. What's cheshbon? It's another judgment. It's the judgment of the failure during that time and in that circumstance to do the mitzvahs that he's supposed to do. Person goes to the movies and he sees something he's not supposed to see, so he gets punished for what he saw, and he gets punished for the fact that he wasn't learning. He wasn't doing mitzvahs, he wasn't doing chesed, he wasn't Isaac in Yerushalayim. Din v'cheshbon. So if that's the case, the Yetzirah, when he's telling you to do the averis, is already preventing you from doing mitzvahs. But let's assume for a moment that you're strong enough to avoid the avera, but then you sit and you do nothing. Versteitzuch that that's not good enough. Because the Yetzirah is busy trying to be mitzad atzmai, to be meineya you from doing a mitzvah. V'im yisrape v'yisatzel v'lo yischazek lirdoi v'achareyem v'litmach bom yishoya neyor will be empty, will be bereft of mitzvah saseh bivadai. V'tira ki teva ha'odam kaved miyod. It says human nature, people generally are very, very heavy. Kaved miyod. There's an inertia. He's describing what we would call today inertia. Ki afrius achumrius gas. The substance of who we are is fundamentally full of inertia. Al kein lo yachpeitz ha'odom b'toyrach u'malocha. So people generally do not want to go out and work. I think that the Mesilas Yesharim here has made a jump. What is his jump? He starts with the idea that the Yetzer Hara never rests and he's always trying to outmaneuver you. So don't think that this is only in his attempt to make you do averas. It is equally in his attempt to prevent you from doing mitzvahs. Now, sometimes that kind of prevention doesn't have anything to do with tzrizus, because there are many ways to prevent a person from doing mitzvahs. For example, if a person is mechuyev to do the mitzvah of ahavta l'racha kamocha, so there are many subcategories of ahavta l'racha kamocha. The Rambam describes it because of it, because the great mitzvah of levayas hameis and the tipul with the meis, so it belongs in hilchos avim. Once he's speaking about that, he speaks about bika cholim, and of course the other things that you have achnasas kal, all the things that we mentioned at the beginning, right after our birchas haTorah. Elu dvarim shein lam shir, the mishnah and pei and the brisa that is associated with it. Kibud av v'aim, v'yos chasodim, salmat Torah, v'chulu v'chulu. There are all kinds of positive mitzvahs, but in those mitzvahs there are many mitzvahs which are subsumed under v'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Now the Yetzer Hara could make you hate that person. And the reason that you're not doing the chasodim that you're supposed to do has nothing to do with laziness. It has to do with anger and resentment. So it's not necessarily that the reason that the arsenal, if you will, of the Yetzer Hara to prevent you from doing mitzvah saseh has to do always with laziness. But it is definitely a chelik of his weapons, of his weaponry, and therefore we have to be very, very careful and on guard. That's the first point that he makes. But now in this paragraph, he's gone beyond that, and he says, by the way, almost like saying, leave the Yetzer Hara as an entity unto itself aside, as a satan. It is a Yetzer Hara in the sense of the nature of the person. Because people seek their inertia. Basically, they want to sit still. And that's what he says, if he allows himself, maniach atzmai biyad kevei dusai, if he allows himself his natural instinct, vaday hu shelo yatzliach. Hu ma she'oma hatana, and now of course we have, evi az kanomer, kal kanesha, rotz katzvivi gibor kari, lasais ritzoin avicho shema shamayim. V'chein monu chachomim zal, v'dvorim hatzrichim chizuk, toiro umasim toivim, gemar in brachas. U'mikra molehu, chazak ve'ematz me'oyit lishmer lasais, because basically, what the Mesilas Yesharim is saying is that essentially we're very, very lazy. And to get us to move requires chazak ve'ematz. I wanted to add something. You know, when you are the engine of your own desires, a person can be very energetic. Part of the great problem that any human being has, by virtue of his essential nature in Avodas Hashem, is that it is exactly that, Avodas Hashem. You know, when Israel came out of Mitzrayim, Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tnai, I'll save you, but on condition that you become mine. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodayheim asher hotzeisi osam me'aretz Mitzrayim. Let me ask you the following question. All of that rebelliousness later, where did it come from? What is this business of Zacharnos Hadoga Shenochal B'Mitzrayim Chinam? So the Medrash asks the question, how could they speak about Chinam when the matzav in Mitzrayim was so horrible, was so shreklach? Where is the Chinam? The price that they paid was so enormous. What are we talking about? Chinam. For free, for nothing. We had all these delicious items, all these delicacies, all these interesting foods, and we had them for free. We paid the biggest price. So the Medrash asks that question, and it says it in the three pithy words. My chinam, chinam min hamitzvahs. And it's very interesting. They had mitzvahs. First of all, they're the children of Avraham Avinu. Secondly, they have the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. And in general, the way the Rambam describes in Hilchos Malachim, it seems that there were mitzvahs that they were nitztaveh in Mitzrayim with, through Amram. Achinam and HaMitzvahs, you see, they remembered the matzav of being shakua in Avodah Zarah, and interestingly enough, at that moment, they thought that they were free. Because, you see, the Avodah of Avodah Zarah allowed them to descend into the very depravity of the worst instincts that they had. And ironically, and this is one of the great ironies of reality, of all of reality, of our whole perception, that which enslaves us the most is perceived by our natures as being the most free. A person is shakua in taiva, in drugs, in schmutz, and he thinks that he's not responsible to anybody or to any principle or to any institution or to any government. He is free. What he doesn't realize is that the essential and fundamental freedom, which is the control over his libidinous instincts and over the koyach ha-kasoni and the koyach ha-tavoni, is the ultimate freedom. And he, in that sense, is the greatest of all slaves. But the perception isn't like that, because no one is telling him what to do. The pelet gezach. He doesn't have that inside of him. There's a force telling him what to do, which he cannot deny. He cannot control. He can't say no to anymore. And that force is a vortex, a whirlpool, which pulls him and drags him in with an unbelievable force. So give a cook, hago ba'atzmacha de pele. And that's why Chazal keeps stressing, ein lecha ben chayrin ele mishayisek batayra. But when they came out of Mitzrayim and they remembered that they were not being told what to do, as far as all the depravities, they forgot the kol habein ha-yiloi, they forgot the fashklafung of the Mitzrim, because they entered into the memtes shari tuma and they reveled in the fact that they were not subject to a higher authority and to a principle of life. And this hefkeirus, Gemara says, a loshen, Avda behefkeira nichole, why it's not a zuchus for him. Avda behefkeira nichole, zilole, shchichole, pritzole. It's like almost one lotion is not good enough. They have to hammer away at you and say, zilole, shchichole, pritzole. All of the hefkeiras of the Eved is only because he's an Eved. Because if he was a free person, he would have obligations. And yet he prefers that hefkeiras. Even if it comes in conjunction with servility, because he thinks that no one's telling him what to do in the fundamental instincts that he has. And such a person is an unbelievable slave. So the atzlus, it's not stam atzlus. It's not just the koyved of the personality, of our human nature, that we are basically always try to remain in the status quo, and that to energize ourselves is inherently difficult. It's much worse than that. Because who's telling us what it is that we're supposed to be doing when we are not at Salem? The Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what we're talking about in Zrizus. Mitzvahs Aseh. I'm being told what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. It's a pelet gezach. That's why it's very interesting. There are many people who do a mitzvah and leave out one detail, or they change one detail, or they go against one detail, because it is their way of saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as absurd as that is, I am rebelling against you. You're not telling me 100% what to do, only 99%. And I'm going to do it, because I'm a good boy. But I'm a good boy according to my cheshbon. And if you ask and look and see, you will see how many times that is the case. Someone would ask me personally, with all of the other reasons and explanations, all this business of talking in shul stems from this. Don't want to go to shul? Of course I go to shul. I'm an Alechayid. Tefillah b'tzibah. We even pointed out that Kriyat Shema v'chatchila should be b'tzibur to make up the Ramach Evarim, if you remember. Good. Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. Dvarim shebikdusha b'tzibur. Shoyin genug. I'm going. But on my terms. My terms. I'm not going to let you dictate, sit here, do this, do that. And what I find to be the biggest pella, which I spoke about many, many times already over the years, La'avdai v'chol avavchem, eizu hi avoda shebelev hevi oimer zu tefila. Tefila, we would have anticipated and expected, is the one area left for us to our own devices. It is the one area where, at least, we are entitled some freedom. We are entitled, we are allowed, Rebbeinu Shloim, I'm talking to you, Kedaber Yishol Reyehu, as Rav Soloveitchik always said, we are allowed to summon Hashem to a rendezvous with us. We put our feet together, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, and there it is, your Lifnei Hashem. Would it not be reasonable to expect that in the Lifnei Hashem, Yishpach Sichai, we are entitled to say and do and act in the most natural of our being and not to be told what to do? Because that's artificial and stilted. And you know, instead, Chazal made davening so tight. It's almost like, you should forgive the imagery because I want to make the point, like a noose around your neck that they draw tight and you feel the pressure against your skin. What to say? We are permitted to say other things as well. But why is there such a nusach to begin with? What to say? When to say? I want to daven. Shachris? You can't daven Shachris anymore. You know why? It's after this man. You have a reason why, and it's legitimate, that you couldn't daven? Tashuvin. Daven twice. And daven twice! It's hard enough to daven once. I've said everything I wanted to say. What do you mean, daven twice? Person forgets Yalav Yovi. He's told that he's supposed to have kavanah. You forget Yalav Yovi. He's supposed to say the Shemon Esra over again. I have to have the same kavanah again? So say Yalav Yovi, you know, kind of tzar. What concept is it that tells me how to hold my feet? How to hold my hands? Imagine you're supposed to hold your hands like this against your heart. You have to wash your hands beforehand. You have to stand towards the east if you are in the west, because you have to face Yerushalayim. Why isn't it enough to conjure up this idea in my head? You know what the answer is? And many, many, many more halachas that I didn't even mention. I'm supposed to bow down. Where am I supposed to bow down? Don't worry, I'll tell you. You don't have to imagine anything. You don't have to be natural about bowing down. In fact, you're not supposed to bow down anywhere else. Only where I tell you. Where I tell you, where I tell you, where I tell you, where I tell you. What is going on over here, Rabbi Sai? In that which I should be able to do naturally, I am being told what to do every step of the way. I might suggest more than any other mitzvah. There is a parallel to this, by the way. We'll get to it in a moment. You know what the answer is? Eizuhi avoda shebelev. Davening is the greatest connection to Hashem. And the greatest connection to Hashem is because we are mitzuvah by Hashem. We are His avod. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avod. And in the davening to Hashem, we show the measure of that avdus by completely surrounding ourselves with the ropes, with the avosos ha'ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made for us. And all the chazal, it's actually the freedom that comes from the extreme avdus of being told precisely what to do. It's pilei ploi. Davening is the ultimate sense of exactly what my relationship with Hashem is dependent upon. contingent upon. There is one other example exactly like that. Mamish exactly. Pesach night. Pesach night celebrates freedom. Freedom? It's really the Russia. The Russia is making a very good point. Ma, again that magic word. Ha'avoida ha'zois lachem. He says, you people are crazy. You have a Korban Pesach. It's bad enough that Korbanos in general have 1,000 rules. But this Korban has peculiar rules. Atolcha mimenu na, u'bashom v'rushol v'amoy, kim tzliyesh. And etzem loisish b'ruboy. And this and that. B'kochlo toichlo oisai. This is how you're supposed to eat it. And there has to be a Korban Chagiga beforehand. And there has to be a kazayis of matzah. And a reviz of arba kaisis. And I'm going to tell you what a reviz is. So the Russia says, are you crazy? Drinking is like the ultimate sense. You know, you imbibe and you become inebriated, you become shikr, and you lose all of your controls, and you become wild and free. And you're telling me that I have to take a cup and worry about whether the chazadish or noah, what is going on over here? And that's the inyan that it's called seder. You think that's done because we have to remember what to do, that we say at the beginning of the Seder? No! That's not the reason. You know what the reason is, Rabbi Isai? Because when a person is told what to do, step by step, point by point, he's taking away from you every single gesture of freedom, and he replaces it with servitude. Almost servility. Do this, and 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 do this. What's the secret? Russia, you idiot, you! Was verstehst du nicht? Scheute Shevicha. It's Dafka that makes you free. The Seder makes us free. The Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz makes us free. The measuring of the kazayis, the measuring of the revius. Halacha. The whole concept. That's why I believe, getting back to my original point, when a person is told what to do, his instinct is to say, ich will nicht. When there's a Torah out there that gives you what to do, min ha-boiker, ad ha-boiker. Including even when you sleep. Not prakta, and not this, and not that, and issues of hirhurim, and whatever else, and how far you can walk without l'ramas, not in the tilas yadayim, without a yarmulke, without tzitzis, this, that, how you're supposed to dress yourself. Genug shein, leave me alone. Oy, was verstehst du nicht? Sedoch min ha-boika ad ha-erev, connected to Hashem, the ultimate freedom. And this is a very hard thing to sell. And that's why teenagers especially, see, teenagers rebel. Why does a teenager rebel? Because fundamentally he's breaking the ties of his servility to his parents to become an individual. It's a very natural thing. It's essential, actually. It's necessary. You cannot be part of the family. You have to create your own family. And that transformation from son to father requires a transition called teenagehood. As I hear this, that's part of the fundamental construction of the human race. There's a very big problem, though. Because when a person is breaking bonds, it's very hard for him to know which bonds he is allowed to break and which bonds he's not. And it's very hard for him to say, I'll listen to everything you tell me, Hashem, or my Rebbeim taught me, or the Shulchan Aruch says. That's why it's such a difficult kuf. Because when you're breaking ropes and you're cutting ties, you don't want to be told to hold your hands like this by Shemona Esrei, or to keep your feet together, or to say dafka these words. V'chulu v'chulu. So this is, I think, part of the yisoid of the issue of this atzas hayetzer. Don't listen. Chinom min ha-mitzvahs. Let's now return to the Mesilas Yesharim. So he writes like this. Hine Shloimei Shina Ma'oid Ba'azharasai Alzeh. Shloimei HaMelech, he says, is very preoccupied, and he repeats his azharas when it comes to this inyan, because he sees how hard it is. Bir Oiseis Roya Ha'atzlov Ahevsid Agodul HaNimshach Mimena. Ve'omar Ma'at Sheinois, Ma'at Tnumois, Ma'at Chibuk Yadayim Lishkov, Uba, כמהלך רישך ומחסוך כאיש מגן, כי הנה, האוצל אף על פי שאינו עושה רע בקום ועשה, he's not violating any עבירס, הנה הוא מביא עשרו עולו בשבע על תעשה שלו. It's דווקא by not doing something. ואומר, גם מסרפה במלאכתו, אוך הוא לבעל משחיס. משחיס is somebody who does hezek. That means he takes a hammer and he breaks somebody's kelim. So we understand the damage. But a misrapid b'malachtoi, person has obligations to build the kelim, and he doesn't build the kelim, and the mele, the pieces are there, and the kelim never happened, is a brother to the mashchis. Ki af al pi she'einenu ha-mashchis ha-oise es ha-ro'a b'yodov, lo'itach shayv shu rochek mimenu, elo achivu, Uben Giloy Hu. Ben Giloy here means, of course, not he's the same age. It means he belongs to the same category. He's in the same boat. For Omar Ode, Levoer, to explain, Ras Ha'osel Biur Tziuri, Mashayikre V'yivoled Le'einenu Yoim Yoim. He says, if you want to know what the consequences are, so Shlomo HaMelech says, I'll paint the picture for you. And that he quotes from Perek Chof Dalet, the psukim that we had earlier. Al zdei ish otzel avarti val kerem odom chasalev. Veinei ola kulo kim shoinim kisu ponav charulim. Ve'echza anoichi oshis libi, ro'isi lo kachti musar, ma'at shinois, ma'at numois, uba mishalech reshecha. Veinei, milvad pshutoi, asher hu amiti kemashmoi, of course, if you don't tend to your field, and you don't constantly cultivate it, and you don't weed it, and you don't protect it from the elements, and you don't repair the breaches in its walls, is exactly what you're going to end up with. But, hinei doshu bo chachomim zechronim levrocha medrash noa zelishoinim. Vehinei olo kuloi kimshoinim shemavakesh pirush al parsha ve'enai moitzei. Going to come a time because he didn't prepare himself and he didn't learn in his youth. Oh, if I avoided such a person when he wakes up one day and he says, you know something, I don't understand anything that's going on over here. For Enai might say, Kisu Panav Mitoshloi Omabahem, who Yoshev Umetame Sator Umetire Satome, who parates Gidron Shaltamide Chachome. I'm talking about a person who doesn't really know. But he thinks he knows because he didn't prepare properly. And he's going to end up destroying Yiddishkeit, destroying the fabric of Torah. Ma onshei shel zeh. So he says, Shloimei pirshei in Koheles, uporeitz goder yishchenu nachash. Behainu, says the Mesilas Yesharim, about this medrash. Ki roas ha'otzel eina ba'a b'vasachas, elo ma'at ma'at, b'loi sheyeda v'yargish ba'a. This is an incredible yesod of the Mesilas Yesharim. You know, I just want to make a point before we continue explaining what he's saying. The Mesilas Yesharim had a tremendous koyach of hasbara. Whenever you have a tremendous koyach of hasbara, there's a sakana. You know what the sakana is? That we do not tend to immerse ourselves in his words and squeeze the fruit dry. We don't delve deeply into something that we think we understand right away. And many times he may make a point which deserves a very assiduous attention, a very constant concern. What can I get from these words? How can I steig from them? What does he really mean? What does he want from me? And that's a terrible thing because there are nuggets. Besides the greatness of the Sefer as a whole, there are nuggets of Havana and Parshonos of Mikra and Gvaldika Yisaydis Achayim that are embedded in the Mesilas Yesharim, and it's almost not noticeable because it seems to be so simple. This is one of them. He says that laziness has a very nefarious quality. Because, you see, when you do an Aveira, you know that you're doing the Aveira. I mean, if a person is conscious of it and knows that you're not supposed to, so he does the Aveira. The absence of doing something positive is not so clear. Mañana is the best example of what we're talking about. Because the person is not saying, I'm not doing it ever. I'm not doing it now. But he doesn't even say, I'm not doing it now. He says it lahefach. He says, I will do it. But the Lashon Osid of mañana is the killer. So he says, it creeps up on you. And over time, the laziness of days becomes the laziness of months, becomes the laziness of years, and maybe even of decades. And one day, chas v'sholem, the person should wake up and say, my bags are empty. My bags are empty. I have nothing in my vessels. I don't understand this. I don't know that. I have so little in my pocket. Oy vavoy. And by that time, it's almost too late. Maybe it's never too late, but it's almost too late. So that's what he says. It's something that creeps up on you. Ki ra'as ha'otzel eina ba'a b'vas'achas ala ma'at ma'at b'lo she'yeda v'yargish ba'a. He doesn't know what he's doing wrong. He's just phlegmatic. He's slow. Ki inehu nimshach me'ro'el ro'a ad she'yimtza tovua b'tachlis ha'ro'a. He's going to end up sunk in this Ra without even realizing that he was responsible for it all along. It's truly depressing, this paragraph. Is it because the person doesn't know when he's lazy today, that chas v'sholem, 50 years from now, he's going to have the regret of the century. V'hine, says the Mesilas Yesharim, if this would be the end of it, what I've spoken about until now would be the sum total of it, it would be bad enough. K'var hoysa rabo. Ach oid misrabe v'hoyleches bameh. He's explaining now the fundamental argument of the Medrash that says, what does that have to do with laziness? People have gaiva. No one wants to be left behind when the train pulls out of the station. No one wants to admit that he doesn't have the kalim, he doesn't have the koichos. Everybody wants to be a player. So if you spend, using the word player in the musical sense, if you spend years of practice, and the violin is your constant companion, or the piano, and you go ahead and you play a piece, then it's beautiful and meaningful. And it has a koyach and a charm. But a person does not practice, but he still wants to be a violinist. He wants to be a pianist. And he gets to the violin and he starts to play in this rigid gefelach, but he thinks he's producing gewaltig music. Why does he think that? Because he cannot afford to think otherwise. And maybe for a musician, that's not possible because everyone else is going to say, yuck, stop that, it's terrible. When it comes to Torah, the Torah is available to you. You don't always have somebody to fix you, to criticize you. And the person ends up pateiching psukim in his way and after his fashion, totally bereft of true knowledge, totally bereft of all that requires avoda and requires mesiras nefesh and requires constancy and asmoda, and instead the laziness of years does not allow him to see the emes, but he wants to be a player. He gets on the train and he starts driving the engine, and of course it goes right over the cliff because he has no right. He doesn't have the tools. He doesn't have the capacity. He doesn't have the understanding. He doesn't have the knowledge. But he does it anyhow. So that's what he says. What was in the Medrash Noah? That pirates Gidron Shal Tamidei Chachamim. What does that mean? Zokta in the next paragraph, what we just started, if it would be simply that he doesn't have Havana, Kvar Hoysa Rabba, a Yid is supposed to have Havana. What did you do with your life? Ach oid misrabe v'oileches b'med shebirt soise, I'll call upon him, li'ashiv ha'parsha. He wants to be a player. I'm going to teach up the way I understand. And how many people come, I know hundreds of people come to their rabbonim, to their chaverim, to this one. I'm going to tell you a pshat. So the first question is, you know what Rashi said? Do you know what the Ramban said? Do you know what the Eben Ezra said? Do you know what the Dor HaChaim said? Do you know what the Kli Yoker said? That's just in the B'kroyes Gedolos. What did the Maharal say? What did Chazal say? What does the Torah Tmima bring down on the bottom of the Chumash? Want to say a pshat? Is it integrated with all of that knowledge? Does it come from a Yediya Satayra? Because, you know, you have in your puppet that you want to say something. And it's very, very rare that you find a person that desists and says, I'm going to tell you what Rashi says if I understand it. And I'm going to struggle to understand the Rashi. And when I understand the Rashi, I'll repeat just the Rashi to you. And that is a tremendous achievement. Very few people exist like that. Very few. People like that probably are people who are not that interested in Torah to begin with. But to be a Baal Madrega, to say, I'm not Roy, to say my own Pshatim, you don't even find people like that. People want to have a Chayim Kintayim. And it's a fine line, because sometimes a person's entitled. Even a simple person is entitled to look and to see and to explain. He's talking about somebody that corrupts the Torah and confounds the Torah because of his ignorance. He's talking about people who want to be authorities, want to be players. But it really applies to everybody. You have to know. And without that constant and aggressive commitment and struggle to know, if laziness, chas v'shalom, takes hold of the person, he's never going to know. So he says, I'll call upon him. He wants to be miyashiv the parsha and the perikahu. Hina yigale b'ponim shaloi ka'alocha. V'yashchis v'emes v'yahafcha. He's going to destroy the truth, turn it upside down. V'yavar al ha'takonais v'yifreitzes ha'gedorim. And he's, of course, come to his own conclusions, and he's going to follow those conclusions. That doesn't have anything to do with us, Baruch Hashem. And he's going to make the Torah charef. Soifai klia k'mishpat kol pirates gather. The snake is going to bite him. Amar shloimai v'echeza anoichi oshis libi. Think about it. V'isi is bainanti aladover. I examined it aladover azev. V'isi goydol arashavoy shuke eres haholich umispashet ma'at ma'at v'ein pu'ulosei nikeres ad hamisa. Feel it playing. So the person could be like that his whole life and not even realize it. V'zeu ma'at she'nois uba k'mahalich reishecha. What is the point that he's trying to make here again and again? That when a person is lazy, it's a different kind of, it's not an avera in the sense that you can sink your teeth into something. You know, laziness is the absence. It's the lack of energy. And you can be lazy theoretically for a day and manage. But the days accumulate. They accumulate without even realizing it. Where has my life gone? And when a person asks that question, in his final moments, and he doesn't have a decent answer, I think that's the biggest Gehenna of all, to be honest with you. I think there can't be a worse Gehenna than that. I can't imagine a worse Gehenna than that. Person should look at his life and say, I don't know. Well, what was it all about? What did I do all that time? I, I think that, you know, in the cancer plot still. Before we continue with the Silas Yisharim, I would like to look into something with you. The pasuk that we have not yet explained, pasuk Yud-Aleph, Ma'at Sheinois, Ma'at Knumois, Ma'at Chibuk Yadayim Lishkov, is very easy to understand. It's very interesting that there's such a repetition. The only way that an Otzel is going to be able to overcome this Atzlus is get up from out of bed. That's the end of Pasuk Tes. Masai Tokum Mishinosecha, from your sleep. And then it says for the future, you want to know how to do it? Ma'at Sheinois, not so much sleep. Ma'at Tumois, not so much slumber. Ma'at Chibuk Yadayim Lishkov. Chibuk Yadayim means when a person is Yoshe B'Chibuk Yadayim with his, you know, his hands like this, it's a simon that he doesn't have anything to do. He's already decided that, you know, he's retired. He's retired. You can retire when you're 10 years old. Chibuk Yadayim Lishkov. But what is Uva Kimahalech Reshecha? What does that mean? So Rashi says on that pasuk, Im Tasekeh, if you're going to do this, Yovoi Chesroincha, the Dovar Sha'ato Rosh Mimenu, Rosh from the sense of poor, right? Dalim Kedalim V'choroshim Dofaknut Losech. Dal V'rosh. Rosh is one of the words for an ani, an impoverished person. The Dovar Sha'ato Rosh Mimenu Yovoloch Miyad Ke'odom Hamahalich Maher U'machsorcha Yovoi V'yismalei. So Reshecha, he learns, is your poverty. You're lazy. Uva Kemahalich, somebody that's walking towards you, is suddenly confront and encounter your poverty. Uva Kemahalich Reshecha. Your rush quality, your poverty will come like a mahalach. What's Ki'ishma gain, says Rashi? The next pasuk, the next half of the pasuk, machsarcha, is your loss, of course. Ki ishma gain. What is ishma gain? So Rashi says, ki ishma gain haba maher lohagin al adonav. In other words, very interesting. The Mesilas Yesharim just finished telling us that it creeps up on you. And Rashi seems to say that it chases after you with a great deal of speed. The imagery here, for example, by the Ishma gain is this, according to Rashi. You see somebody threatening you with a knife, but you have a protector, you have your guard that's standing on the side, you know, like the president, you know, you see somebody picking up a pistol to shoot the president. So all of a sudden, all of the Secret Service people, you know, come running. That's Machsorcha ki Ishma gain. Habo maher lo'agin al adonav. And of course Rashi says that we're talking about what? We're talking about Yisatzlin la'asot b'Torah. That is the pshat of Rashi. There are other pshatim, of course, here, and as is Hashem Yisbarach, as we go on, we're going to look at those pshatim as well. And we should be zeicher taka that, every time you hear words of Musa, it's a conundrum. You know why? Because on the one hand, Eminemtes nicht ernst, you know, the worst thing a person can say about a Musa Shmuas is, I enjoyed the shir. The minute a person says, I enjoyed, is bitter, because it means that it went right over his head. On the other hand, if it's getting pupik arayim, then you have another thing to worry about. You know what that's called? Yiyush. So it's a very fine line. Person always has to know that the tachlis of a Musa Shmuz of any kind, certainly the Musa Shmuz of the Halakim Mesilas Yesharim, one of the great Sifrei Musa of all time. And then the Goyim said that if he were alive in Mesilas Yesharim, he would go to him to Italy. You have to know that it goes into the pupik, fixes what needs to be fixed, and mitach simcha, a person comes out with a slavus, to accomplish by Avodas Hashem the next day. The Ivdu has to be B'simcha. The Boyu Lefanov has to be B'rinana. But there has to be Du'u Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. We should be Zeichel B'Zeh Hashem. We'll continue next time.